Our Heavenly Father, we come to you again and thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the blessings of life. Thank you for the Word of God we're fixing to open. And thank you for the Spirit of God that lives in those who trust Christ as Savior and is out willing to reveal the truth of the Savior to those who are not saved. And we come to you again asking for the anointing of the Spirit of God to be able to preach your Word today. Help us with our mind as it becomes a little more feeble than it was a few years ago. Help us be alert, and I pray, dear Father, for the anointing here in the pulpit, anointing in the pew, and bring that combination together that God could bless us together as we go back into that world. Help us learn something today that we may serve you better. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you very much. Take your Bible and turn with me, Acts chapter 1, if you will. Acts chapter 1. I want to read down verses about 8 through 11. Before I do, we see the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, has risen from the dead. He's been teaching about his kingdom coming for about 40 days. And according to his message that he's been given, he's teaching them that he's going to come, set up his kingdom. He's coming back. The apostles had a little trouble about understanding some things about the Lord, because you find they studied the Old Testament, they saw that he was the Messiah was going to come, but when he came, he didn't come like they thought he was going to come. In fact, he suffered, he bled, and he died, and even though when he rose from the dead, there's a little bit of confusion about what's going on in this thing of the kingdom of God. And so now Jesus, now after the resurrection, has been about 40 days instructing the disciples about his coming kingdom in the future. They didn't know how long it would be. They didn't know the time. He did not tell them exactly when the time would come that he'd come back to set up his kingdom. But we get to verse 8 and he says this, but ye, he tells them what to be doing until that time comes. And of course now 2,000 years have gone by and we're still looking for the Savior to come back. Amen. We think the rapture is the next thing on the timetable. And that's the way it'll be for the next, you know, how many years God wants to wait for his coming back or whatever he's doing to get done before he comes back as far as receiving the church unto himself. And he said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, notice, the Lord Jesus is walking with them on the Mount of Olives. And as he's just taught them now for 40 days, many of these had been seen before in the resurrected form. Talked about what was going to come for the future, about the kingdom that he was going to set up. He came to start with and presented the gospel of the kingdom, that he was going to set it up, but he was rejected. He bled and he died. The disciples and the apostles thought he was going to set it up when he first came, when they recognized who he was. But the confusion came because instead of setting it up, he seemed to have lost his cause. He died for a cause. Not understanding all of that, then they kind of was disturbed for a while. And then you see, after the resurrection, Jesus finally told them what to do and where to go. And they began to see him, and they saw him in a resurrected form. Now, in the resurrected form was a little bit confusion, too, because to be sure, if he just rose from the dead, he's ready to set kingdom up. Amen? I mean, if he had power to raise himself from the dead, he's got the power to set his kingdom up. But the only thing about it is they didn't know it was going to be years later before he did it. They looked for him every day. You know why? God wants us to look for him every day. And the sad thing about it is Satan comes along and he causes us to doubt his coming, that is the human race. And certainly many children of God must doubt that he's coming today. If they were not doubting that he's coming today, many lives would be different. Yeah, that's right. Lives would be different. Looking for the Lord Jesus Christ will cause our lives to be different if we thought we was going to stand in his presence today. Now, what I want you to notice is that here they're walking in the garden. And as they walk along, can you imagine the astonishment what took place? Here they're walking with the apostles. And suddenly, Jesus is not walking on the earth. He's in the air, and they begin to look at him as he goes up. And the angel had to say to him at this particular time, and he said, and they beheld he was up in cloud, received him out of their sight. And while they looked up steadfast towards heaven as he went up, wouldn't you be looking up too? I'll tell you what, this morning, if I'd be preaching here all of a sudden, and I'd be preaching like I am right now, and suddenly you see me begin to rise, and you see me go in that building, and that wood didn't have a thing, and I went through that wood, it'd get your attention too, amen. I guarantee you'd be more alive than you are right now. You'd be, hey, you'd have the newsmen and everything out here. What went on here? Well, that's what Jesus did. The only thing about it is he didn't just at that time go through any materialistic thing, but he had the power to. You know why? Because on the day of resurrection, he went into a room where the disciples were afraid and didn't have to go through the door. That's right. You know why? The doors were locked. And if he went through a door, he went through it. Because they were locked. They were scared to death. So here they see him gazing. They see him go up, and they're gazing at him as he broke the gravitation pull of the earth and began to go up into the air. And they stood there, I'm sure, mouth was open, eyes were wide open, wonder what in the world is going on now. And then suddenly two angels said to them, he said, which also ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Watch these next three words. This same Jesus. Yeah. Not going to be nobody else. Amen. Not going to be nobody else. Not going to be no one else somewhere or another that God might say, well, you know, the Lord lost the cause the first time. He's going to send someone the second time. He went, no, he's already won. Amen. Just a matter of time before he comes back to set up his kingdom. This same Jesus, which is taken up to you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you see him go into heaven. Now turn with me to Revelation, if you will, chapter 1, and just read a couple of verses. In chapter 21, of Revelation. And we see what John saw. He said in verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven said, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. He'll wipe away their tears. There'll be no sorrow, no death, so forth in verse 4. Notice, for the former things are passed away. Verse 5, and he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. And he said, I'll give unto him that is the thirst, the fountain of the water of life. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. 1 John 5, verse 4 and 5 will tell you how that overcoming is. Starts with Jesus Christ. But he goes on, and he said in verse 8, but the fearful, the unbeliever, and the abominable, and the murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idol, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if I say to you this morning, this world's in a mess, if you wouldn't say amen to nothing else, you'd say amen to that. This world is in a mess. And man don't know what to do. He's trying. Well, we got an age, live in an age, the most unusual time in man's history. We got pockets of places. We got countries. If you look at me just a moment, use my fingers as an alliance of countries. We'll have maybe in Europe a bunch of countries, one I've got fingers for right now. Over here, and here, this each individual country, they have their power, and they're trying to align together because they've got fear that all this country over here, and these over here, and these over here, and these down here in South America and America, they're afraid that they're going to one day have to fight them in a battle, and they know one country by itself can't win it. It ain't like it was in Bible times. And then you find that these countries line themselves together, and they're just concerned now because of modern day warfare and an arsenal that this country over here don't necessarily have to come in the sense of a horse and wagon and boat and get over here for weeks and weeks and weeks to get there. They're looking now. They can fire a missile anywhere just about and be hit in place on the face of the earth. So man is scared to death, and they're afraid this group is going to battle. They're afraid this group is going to battle. And then you get these alliances together, and suddenly one of these will go against these. And next thing you know, this alliance is messed up. And so we got all of this all over the world, pockets of people, nations together, saying that we got to protect ourselves while those Americans over there, they have everything they want, and they want the rest of the earth. They're not satisfied. And then there's others say that we don't have anything. We better come together because the only thing we have is our life. We better have an alliance. So what is coming out of the hearts of this world today is a cry for all of these units to come together in one unit. Called the world government, a world ruler. How would it work? It would work this way, like America has 50 states. In other words, the government is over all those for protection otherwise. But each individual state is an individual state, has their own rights. So these countries want to come to have a one world government so there would be like, not like this fighting each other, but like this, where in turn, hopefully, there'd be a harmony. And yet, knowing there cannot be a harmony here any more than here unless you've got one world leader. So out of this will come out that one world leader. Now, we know today this world's in a mess. I read recently where they out in California, there was a carnival setting up in a certain place, and one of the lions got out of the lion's container that were in cage. And he'd been in that thing about 20 years, and he was an old lion. He got out, and they were scared to death when they heard he got out, and the lion got out and looked around a little bit, and he turned around right back and got right back in the cage. This world's in a mess. That's all there is to it. Someone said that the end result of this earth is a swinging cemetery for the dead only. And that's about the truth for those who are not who are not saved. I seen a sign the other day that said the rat race is over and the rats won. Well, we're in a race. And it looks like in our particular day, there's no hope. And it's so bad that what God said through Daniel, hearts are failing people because we don't know. You know, America's always felt pretty safe. We got water around us up north and the south. Sure, we could protect that and so forth. We're finding out now we're no safer than anybody else on the face of the earth. We're too good to be true, to tell you the truth of most people, because most countries won't allow what our country allows. So I'm going to talk to you for a few minutes this morning on the New World Order. By the way, there is going to be a New World Order. But no man in the flesh is going to set up on it. The Son of God himself is going to rule. Now, it's one thing is for sure that I know. I went back for the last 100 years, at least 100 years. There's a number of people in the flesh who said and talked about what is called this new world order. Some 50 have that many know, and I'm not going to list all of those. But there has been a talk about the new world order or the new world government even back for the turn of the last century. Woodrow Wilson spoke of the New World Order in 1913. Winston Churchill spoke about it in 1922. H.G. Wells spoke about it in 1939. That's just in those early years. Now, I wonder why. Because they look at something in this life and know that we're heading in a direction that we're no longer separated like we were years ago. We find ourselves in transportation that you can be anywhere in the world in just a matter of a few hours. We find ourselves in traveling eventually, probably it won't take a few hours the way things are going. So we're more united together today as they say the world is shrinking. Not so much it's shrinking, just looks like it because of advantage we have in technology and transportation in our particular day. The only problem is this new world order is man-made, and that's not what God's going to set up. Man cannot have a new world order and it come out like it should come out. Why? Because man, ever who gets in position, is a depraved individual. And power has a tendency to make a person want more power, want more wealth, and more likely you see today, even the person who gets in those political places in the world, talking on the world scene now, from every country, most of those people end up being very wealthy. They have control. Did you know that you and I don't control the wealth of this world? Do you know there is a board, a committee of wealth, if we knew across the earth today, where in turn when it comes to finances of any country, this board is the one who really manipulates it? You'll find in our particular day, we already have a number of things together, but we don't have the man as of yet. And that man is going to come because the Antichrist is going to go against what the real Christ is going to do. He's going to try and show people that he is the one. As a matter of fact, he'll have power to do things beyond our thinking. And it won't be like the day where people said in Christ's name there's something done, you can't verify it. That day you will be able to verify it. And the Antichrist will have the power to do it, show that they, when he goes to these countries, they will accept him. And I'll show you that in the book of Revelation in a few minutes. So I say to you, we've had people talking about this new world order. The purpose is to establish a one world government. And the Antichrist will be the one in the end that heads this thing up. We're headed there. Henry Kissinger talked about one world order, 1991. David Rockefeller talked about it in 1991. George Herbert Walker Bush talked about it in his day. Senator Barry Goldwater talked about it in 1964. Nelson Rockefeller talked about it in 1962. Richard Nixon talked about it in 1967. George Bush, president recently, 1991. In other words, all of these realize there's got to be something done if we're going to ever have harmony with things are going now. And what happened, this government, these little pockets that come together like this in a world government, this world government will have the right. See, you and I, right now, if someone comes in, we can say what we're going to do. We've been through this thing through Iraq, and we can say what we're going to do, but what we do upsets the whole world. And suddenly people are afraid to do anything. But this man will have the authority to go anywhere. He won't have to ask, have I got to go to a country that's doing something? When he gets in power, everybody realize he'll have the authority, and his board have the authority to go anywhere on this planet to put down an insurrection or put down those who would destroy the rest of us. And that sounds pretty good to the human mind, doesn't it? When we go into another country now, we're the only country in the world going to a country and destroy them because they try to destroy us, and then go back and help build them back again. No other country would do that. And what I'm saying to you, this is coming on the scene. It's rapidly coming. And it's a good sign because it's a symbol or a type of what Jesus is going to set up when he comes back. The only thing about it is when he rules it with a rod of iron, it's going to be ruled with righteousness and holiness. Nobody will be afraid. There'll be peace on this earth when he rules. And he's coming one of these days, so very soon, just as sure as you and I are sitting here today. So let's look at this, the world new order. In Revelation chapter 19, we see the church coming back. Chapter 18, we see what's going to happen at the end of tribulation period of this man-made world order. It's going to be destroyed. The wealth will be gone. People will be crying because they had their wealth taken from them. And they'll talk about it in the name of Babylon as they cry out to them. As you see, he says in verse 19 of chapter 18, as you go through and see the kings of the earth, verse 9 down to this verse. I'll just read the end for the sake of time. And it said they cast dust on their heads. They lost everything, everything. They don't have God. They have nothing. And he said they lost everything. And they cast dust on their head and cried, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein there was rich, made rich all that had ships in the sea by the reason of the coastline. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. They talk about things in that day. In our day, they'll be talking about space travel, and if they're talking about riches and things, they classify what the wealth of the land was. But in this say, he said, in 1 hour, all of it will be gone. All of it will be gone. Amen. And he talks about when Jesus comes back, he's going to set up in the tribulation period a kind of a cleansing thing for this earth before he sets up his kingdom. The world, the new world order. You know, the only good news in the human race is that God has promised a new world order. And there will be peace there. And this will be of eternal duration and be infused with eternal life. This new order is based upon qualities that are exact opposite of man's temporary moral life. It's not like what man talks about today. It'll be beyond that. I mean, it's simply this. If you look with me in Revelation chapter 16, I want you to turn there. You want to see this. You need to see this. Revelation chapter 16, and I want you to look with me down about verse 14. Ladies and gentlemen, this Bible overrides anything man says. If God said it, it's true. I want you to know that. That man can't go but so far in God's permissive will. In chapter 16, he's talking about in verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. If you go back, you see who the dragon is in the first parts of this chapter, which is certainly is the devil himself, out of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. That's the trinity of the Antichrist, just like God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Watch verse 14 now. For they are the spirits of devils or demons, working miracles which go forth to the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle that great day of God Almighty. In other words, they will have the power to do mighty miracles that the kingdoms of this earth and the rulers of this earth will think that they are some great, mighty God. and they'll go with him. But his only purpose is to get an army together for the battle of Armageddon to try to defeat the one who's coming to set up his kingdom. But he can't do it. Thousands, millions would die in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Somebody said, well, I just don't believe that. That can't be real. That's just a beautiful story to get Christians all riled up. Hey, I wouldn't get riled up if I didn't think it was real. I mean, if it's fictitious, I'll laugh at it like I do Mickey Mouse. But I don't believe it's Mickey Mouse stuff. I believe it's God giving us a window insight of what's going to happen for the future so that those who are born again into the family of God can see a little bit that God's still on the throne. And I see him as he goes, and he said they're getting together for that battle. The new order is based upon the quality that's opposite of man. God promises the quality of perfection and eternal life, which cannot be found in fallen man outside the new birth. Everybody who says they believe in God is not saved. Everybody who believes says they believe in God is not born again. To be born again is a process that God does in sowing his word and bringing about that life. Born again is bringing new life out of that which in turn has been destroyed due to the fall of man in the garden. The new order will finally show itself in the new heavens and the new earth. And God's provision for the redeemed is eternal duration. It's not the rise of someone new every few years. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if they had a king, when this ruler comes out of this, there's no way that man in a depraved position can ever live long enough to do what needs to be done. He has not the power nor the duration of life. I thought about, and working on this message the last few weeks, every person that I know that was in the high ranks of offices when I was a boy are dead now, that I remember reading about. Everyone that came later when I was a young adult man coming into in this world charting my course in life. I don't know of any of those that's still alive. What I'm saying to you, man in his frail condition cannot live long enough to do what needs to be done to bring peace to this earth. And I got one who can, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's proven death, hell, and the grave can't hold him. And when he comes back, he's coming back with a duration forever. That is, when it comes to the millennium reign, there's 1,000 years there, but even that goes out of time into eternity in those days. This is what we have to look forward to, and the signs are all around us that it's soon to take place. Now, I can hear somebody say, well, when I'm, you know, maybe 5 or 6 now, or 7, 8 now, or 10, 11 now, but if I'm 100 years old and it hadn't happened, may prove any of this is wrong. No, it just proves that God hadn't decided to come back yet. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I mean simply that I believe with all my heart, ladies and gentlemen, that God keeps his word. He's not like man. I mean, we can promise something and die and never be able to carry it out. God promised something, and he died and rose from the dead. Don't tell me he can't carry it out, because he's going to do that. I'm talking about this new world order. So God's provision for the redeemed is eternal duration. Not just to come and go like the mortals do, but a new order that will stand and stay forever. This new order will not be subjected to death. It will not be subjected to destruction. It will come to life and remain forever. Why? For God himself will set it up. And then at the end of the millennial reign, all of that's going to be set aside. And then that new Jerusalem John saw is coming down. And when it comes down, evil will be done away. Satan will be put in the bottomless pit of hell. And then out of that to in the lake of fire one day. And then we will rule and reign with Christ forever.
Amen.
Now that's what God promises. Let me give you 3 quick points on this order. Number one, God makes it very clear that Jesus Christ will head up this new order. Not any human man that's depraved, not anyone that's living on the earth now, but Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, is coming back to head up this order. This Bible's through. The individual believer in Christ makes up this body, this new world order members. The first Adam, the old man, was the head of the old order. When Adam fell, he pulled everything down with him. Many people argue about the historical fall of human beings in Adam. There are those who don't believe really that Adam put us in the mess we're in. We just kind of migrated to it. Well, where did the migration start at? I mean, that starts somewhere. Now, what caused us to migrate where we're at now, if they want to call it that? No, it started when Adam followed Eve and failed by transgression. And we've come into this world that same way. Now, no matter how brilliant one is, no matter how educated one is, no matter how wealthy one is, he knows that man cannot stay here forever. He must leave sooner or later.
Amen.
I got news for you. Lord, don't come back. We won't be sitting in these pews 100 years from now. And if you are, you'd just be born. You say, well, I know some people that live over 100. You don't know many of them. I guarantee you, if you looked at the odds, if they might be one or two spotted here, that'd be about it. If it even happened. We know death is real. And God tells us the wages of sin is death. So the first Adam, the old man, was the head of the old order. And he failed. He brought everything down. Man cannot, listen to me, man cannot live forever here in a body of flesh. He must die. Why, preacher? Because God said, again, in Hebrews 9:27, appointed a man once to die, and after that, to judgment. You know, isn't it an amazing thing? He only said that one time. He did say the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. But once to die, and after that, to judgment. Now, temporality says that you must go. Man doesn't live forever in a physical body. Oh, you know that? Let me tell you something, folks. Man, you're not going to live in that physical body forever. You see what? We're so stunned to how we live in this world, even things that God says don't stir us much. It only stirs us to know you're not going to be in that body forever. You know that? I'm not going to be in this body forever. If I'm not, it's in time. I better find out what I can do in this body for the one I'm going to live with forever.
Amen.
And that's important in my life and should be in all of our lives. Temporality says that you must go. Mortality says that you must die. And no matter what man may do here, temporarily or mortality, it rested upon our works while we're here, what we've done before God. When you and I leave this world, it's because we were born of the nature of Adam. And the only thing can keep us in the sense to really live in the life of eternity with God is the new birth. And God puts that in His Word very forcefully. No matter how noble, no matter how created a man may become, there's two sentences written across his life in this life. You cannot stay here forever like you are. You cannot live here in this environment like it is now forever either. You come here only to go. You come here to die. You say, preacher, that's the most negative preaching I ever heard. Not if we know Jesus Christ as Savior. Praise God. Once you heard me, Stephen, I left it. I just shut my eyes sometimes and say, Lord, I'm going to be walking one of these days, and I just do it over so much in my life. Lord, one of these days, I'm going to go to take a step. When I take, and I said that this past week, the camp meeting, you've heard me say before, I'm going to take a step in this life, and this body's going to fall to the ground. My next step is going to be in heaven, and I'll be breathing celestial air instead of this polluted air on this earth. And I'll tell you what, when it does, I hope I'm walking so close to God. Somehow or another, when I take a step, it won't make much difference when I get there. I hope it is. I hope I'll not take the step and draw my last breath and go before Him in shame. I mean that. God, help me not to go before Him in shame. You say, can a child of God do that? Don't you know when you disobey your parents, do you shame them? Our Heavenly Father is more than our earthly fathers, I tell you that. I hope to say somehow or another I've done some things right and maybe enter into that which He's prepared for his children on the other side. You can only go, you come here only to go. Every man, everything that a man does, God has marked a judgment on if he's a non-Christian. If you look with me in 2 Peter chapter 3. I've got to hurry. Always hurrying on it. Didn't I? Am I? Did I say it right? You didn't get that. Good. You're not listening too good. Then you didn't get that. Amen. Look in 2 Peter 10, chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. If I understand that means nothing but ashes. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what matter A person's ought need to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and the hastening to the coming of the day of our God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervor. Nevertheless, we, say Peter said, and born again child of God, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth which dwelleth righteousness. You can read the rest for the sake of time. I cannot do that now. No man can remain here due to the process of going. In Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The fact that we are born, the fact that we're sinners, we're going to die. But thank God, the destiny is different from the unsaved and the saved. You draw your last breath to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Amen. An unsaved person draws their last breath, and the Bible teaches us, and that's one of the references you have. You listen to all the people you want to say they die and come back. You don't ever hear anybody say anything about going to hell when they die. But Jesus said when the rich man died in hell, he lifted up his voice. He saw Abraham afar off and cried, "Father Abraham!" That's the reason I wrote that song about Luke 6:16. About hell. It's an amazing thing, and yet sometimes people look at it as nothing to it. No man can remain here due to this. No man is eternal here in this life as far as the physical life is concerned, because we're going to have a glorified body before we get to the eternal part here, even on this earth. And because of sin, fallen man must die. Man cannot stop this process in life. Only God can. Only God can. Did you know when God calls us home, nothing can stop it? Nothing can stop it. What a joy. What a joy in our heart to understand that. God help us. And so he paid the price, given the victory over sin and death. God is clear. Jesus will head up this new world order. The second thing quickly is man is too impatient to wait for God's promise. That's where we're at today. God doesn't work on man's timetable. Man tries to take the short-range view of things. He likes everything instant, don't you? I do that. I'm a child of God. I like that. You know, everything needs to be instant. Take pictures. One of them seconds. You know, there's instant pudding, instant potatoes. I guess you can buy something instant about everything just about. Even talking about now, milk from a cow. You can get milk from beans and everything else. It's amazing. Soybeans, I've seen something the other day. Look at something like soybean milk. I don't believe I want to try that. It don't even sound right. Amen? Everything just about. Did you know today, ladies and gentlemen, if you buy a new car, latter part of December and the first part of January, by July, it's already old. I mean, just, you know. It's amazing that we live. Man is in a hurry, and he cannot bear to wait for a thing. Man, his mental impatience of delay causes God's prophets to move slow for him. And he said, surely if God is God, he would do things faster. And that's what the world said. Oh, you say Christ is coming back. It's been 2,000 years, Peter said. They'll mock you. Surely he'd come back. But if God is God, why would he wait so long to do what he said he'd do? I'll tell you why. He's loving and he's merciful. Yeah. And his grace is extended to an ungodly world that they don't even realize when they mock. I'm amazed at the day how people will mock God. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, did you know if you approach God in any way outside of Jesus Christ, you're mocking him? Yes, you say, preacher, I tell you, 3/4 of this world don't believe that makes no difference. As a matter of fact, I find when Jesus came, not many believed him except those that he won and got to himself to start with until after he went back to be with the Father. I mean, his man is just too impatient for what happens in our particular day. So when Christ does not come today, they say he may not come at all then. Oh, yes, he will. You know what? They said the Messiah wasn't going to come to start with, and some believe he hadn't even come as of yet, but he has come, and he did come. Amen. But they didn't receive him. Boy, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a dumb person. It's a wonderful thing to me to open this book, what little I know, and see what God has done about Jesus coming as Messiah and how they rejected him and how he died and was buried and rose again, went back to be the Father. What a blessing it is to see what's happening even now and begin to understand a little bit when somebody mocks us and yet we know it's true because we see it and believe him at his word at that time. When Christ doesn't come, To wait for God's own time is too much for the man who is in a hurry. So one is caught up in the prevailing influence of our society, which causes one to disregard the promise of Jesus Christ and God the Father. Here, the deceit for the riches choke God's word and makes it unfruitful. Or the deceitful of religion, which in turn replaces God with something. It doesn't matter. Satan has a whole range of things to bring people away from God. And the only thing that's going to matter is God when they stand before him. I'll be honest with you. You know, I think about my age now, and boy, 73, soon be 74-year-old. I'm amazed how quick time has gone. If you'd have said to me, 16-year-old boy, 73-year-old, be like next month, I'd have said, you're out of your mind. I got news for it's like last week when I was 16. Time goes by so fast. Isn't it amazing you have to get a place, and all of a sudden I look back and I think about so many things that I did waste, even though I gave my life to the Lord early in my life. There's still a lot of time I didn't redeem like I should. And God helped me to not do that at the end now as I've laid this service out down through the years. So one is caught up in this influence. And so in our country today, many low-income people, do you know, live greater than some kings did years ago? It's amazing, our country. But you know what? To whom much is given, much is required. God's going to require our country a lot of things, folks. He's going to require us a lot of things. He has blessed us, and yet, when we, no doubt, we're probably the last front to get the gospel of this known world. We are the one who's in America, send more missionaries around the world than anyone else. But then again, most of the technology in our day is being used for other things. And so when you talk about the luxury of emperors and so forth in kings, we, even the poorest of our land, have much more than some of those had other than power. They had power in that day. Do you know it's hard to focus upon a better world in the future when we have such comfortable one to live in today? You know, it's hard to get people to understand what's headed when they got the fact that our country has been blessed so much, we think God's got to continue blessing it, and some people down the road are going to feel the curse of God.
Yeah, that's right.
It's going to come, ladies and gentlemen. God is a holy God. You can't disrupt what he's doing. We don't have the power. He's tolerant and lets a lot of things, but we don't have the power to do that at all. Someone asked, you know, why are miracles more seen in foreign countries today than in America? This was asked just a few weeks ago. And they don't really understand the reason for it. If God would perform a miracle here, well, no one would believe it because they think that the government has the power to do everything. And we can't see it, but I tell you what, you go to the foreign field where they don't have what we have, and God is doing a lot of great things. I'm telling you, he's doing miraculous things. You hear things on the foreign field you don't hear in America. Most people do not even think of God unless they're in a tragedy nowadays in our country. And number three, then there's the theological problem in our clothes. Most people hold on to an inadequate view of Jesus Christ. He has been explained. He's been humanized. He's been demoted to most people's thinking today. And many people feel that Christ cannot usher in a new world order without the help of fallen man. We've got preachers running across this country right today. And if you listen to many on television, you'll see some of those saying that God has given them an indictment to help him set up the order. Man has not the capacity to set this order up for Jesus Christ. He's going to set it up, and then we're going to have the privilege to serve with him. Help him? What can we help him do? The only thing we can do is surrender to him. And then say, Lord, whatever it is, we want to do it. But I want to know what to do to help him do it to start with, would you? He's going to have to be here to instruct us. And then where we're at in this life now, once we get out of time, out of this time into the time there, then he will allocate those positions as far as ruling and reigning with him at that time. So it's hard to look radiant, happy over a king of kings who seemed to have been stripped of his crown. It's hard to look happy on the Lord of Lords who has seemed to have lost his sovereignty in our day. Some 80 to 100 years ago, preachers were preaching. And when I came along, you know, 55, 60 years ago and hearing preaching, preachers were preaching that day, the coming of Jesus Christ, all the time. They were preaching about the tribulation period. They were preaching about the millennium ring. They were preaching about the great white throne judgment. Did you hear a bunch of messages? They preach on hell. You go to revival, you'd hear a message on hell one night that week, if not more. What do you hear now? First of all, they don't have revivals like they used to have.
You're right.
And you find churches that now that is just end up talking about everything. And we're talking about something here about a one world government, but they still let us see that God's plan is on schedule. Look for what's happening. We look at the world and our heart fails and everything else, but God has said that's going to happen. That's more things going to take place. Be looking at that later. And they don't open our eyes to see that God is true. He's letting us know things in this life so that we can prepare to be what we need to be for Him until He gets us where He wants us to be. Today, many Christians are on defense so bad that they are embarrassed to admit these truths about hell. I guarantee you, you talk about next day when you go to work, and do it in a loving way, and just talk about, boy, I'm sure glad I'm saved, not on the road to hell, and see what someone says. They'll say this hell stuff. What do you mean? We're beyond that now. Let me tell you something. You know what hell has done? God has enlarged it. Because it was for the devil and his angels to start with. And now he says it's enlarged. Why? Because those who follow Satan will end up there. I don't care what Dr. Doolittle says. God's true. Let every man be a liar. God's true, ladies and gentlemen. This book is his, we get his word to let us know what's happened. Many are called to rethink about their faith. Why? Due to the lapse of time when nothing has yet happened. People redefine God today, comparing God to the past, and the God of today is different than that one of the past. Ladies and gentlemen, can I give you some good stuff? God can never be but the same. Amen. It doesn't matter where you say. It doesn't matter the Old Testament. It doesn't matter the New Testament. It doesn't matter 1,000 years from now. It doesn't matter when we get to heaven. God will always be the same. Amen. He just deals with us different in dispensations, in times that we're living in this life. So many Christians are defenses. They're so bad, they're embarrassed to admit many of these truths. We all, at times, we understand this, misjudge an event. But that doesn't mean it won't take place if God said it. Sometimes we can say there's an event coming and try to look at how it's going to happen and misjudge it, how it happens. But just because we might misjudge how it happens doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Because we can't understand everything here. We don't have the mind of God completely. We're to study the Word of God so we could have the mind of God. But He sees eternal things. I can only see where my eyes are at, blind, and what this feeble mind can see. But what He says, I might miss it and mention to something. I might say how something's going to happen and not have enough in the Scriptures to understand it, but in my mind formulate it. But if someone said, well, I don't believe it's that way, if whether it's that way or not, it's still going to happen. I've seen a lot of things not happen just like I thought they would happen in this life. So we misjudge things at times, but this doesn't mean we take it won't take place. And sometimes our judgment may seem too sharp in the eyes of this world, but we are not mistaken about the event. Sometimes the world may think what we see is not very sharp. And they'll say something like this. Well, I'm a King James Bible man myself. And I have people all over, everywhere sending word once in a while. Well, Brother Ennis is just a heretic on the King James. Well, praise the Lord then. Amen. I'd rather be a heretic on the King James than heretic some other people are, which abandon God completely. You're right. I just believe this is my translation. Amen. I don't understand it all. I wish I did. I just believe everything God wants me to know is right here. It's not going to come automatically. That means, son, you're going to have to study it. I could drill a hole in you and pour it in you. No problem with that. But listen, you're going to have to study it. And then it's going to have to be applicable. You're going to have to observe. You're going to have to, study it. And you're going to have to make it applicable in your life. And so one of these days soon, we'll see God's new order in His timetable. Would you turn me to Revelation 19 and then we'll close. Look with me. In Revelation chapter 19, hear me. One of these days soon. How close is soon? I don't know. It may be 100 years from now. You say, well, that's not soon. Can I give you some advice? God said, but Him, one day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years, one day. 100 years is soon, isn't it? If it's not 100 years, it's soon. God lets us understand we're in time. He's not. God's in the now. Always in the now. Watch what He says. So in verse 11 of chapter 19, we'll go home. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Boy, I wonder how many people think that God's not going to judge sin in that day. understand, not only is he going to judge, he makes war against those that are against him. Who is this? It's the Son of God. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Son, the only begotten, absolute, righteous Son of God. And he says his eyes was a flame of fire. I believe Peter saw some of that outside warming his hand by the enemy's camp when he denied the Lord Jesus. And he looked at Christ to start with and saw those eyes beaming, even though it was compassion in it. He saw that. His eyes were a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. Why? He's going to set up his kingdom and he's going to rule. He had the name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. I love that, because that's who he is. John 1 fulfills that in Gospel John. And the armies which were in heaven followed him. Watch it, this army. Watch it, folks. Rejoice with me. Hold him up on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Where would the fine linen represent? Go back to over to verse 7, and you see he talks about, let us rejoice and be glad and honor him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. Watch. And he, and to her was granted in that she should be arrayed in fine linen. The same fine linen in 14, the same fine linen in verse 8. And he says, is the righteousness of the saints. Amen. You know who that is? If you're saved, I'm looking at you. The righteousness of the saints. And those that righteousness is not their own self-righteousness. It's because the righteousness of God has been imputed to them through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're coming back with him. And he says we're going to come back. He's riding a white horse. And out of his mouth goeth the sharp sword that with it should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierce and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm glad I'm trusting him today. Because he's the only one going to bring us through it. Talking about this world order. It's fixing to happen, folks. It's not going to help us down the grassroots much either. It's fixing to happen. You're going to see more. Listen, you listen. I don't know how long it'll be. You keep listening. You're going to hear a lot about the world order. World order. So much is happening nowadays in chaotic condition. Somebody's got to have the power to go anywhere on this earth to put down insurrection or put down problems. And right now, you can't go across a borderline without going to get someone's a benefit or someone's laws or constitution or something. So this man will have the right to go anywhere on this earth to push his cause. And man will think, this is marvelous, boy. 3.5 years, peace. Israel will be at peace. The world will be at peace. You talking about an economy, it's going to be the best you've ever seen. We've not seen nothing yet. I heard this morning that there was 1 billion people on the face of the earth today that didn't make more than $1.25 a day when they worked. And some of the economists, you see that on the news this morning, some of the economists said, we're going to see to it by the year 2016 or 20, somewhere in there, that time, we're going to see to it that poverty on the earth is completely done away with. I got news for you. Only Jesus Christ is going to be able to do that. Now, if you're not saved this morning, ladies and gentlemen, someone here, someone listening to radio, someone looking the upstream, if you're not saved, it's so easy to get saved. Yeah. Jesus paid the price. Yeah. Oh, as he deals with your heart, realize this is a side we rejoice in, but we weep because many are not going to be where we're at. Amen. We thank you. No, I'm just an old sinner saved by God's grace. I believe Jesus Christ, who he said he was, and I claim the promise day by day. Amen. I do that, and that exempts us. But wait a minute, I've got a responsibility. I got a responsibility. God's called me to pray. I got a responsibility. By the way, so do we all. So do we all. There's going to be a world order. Which side would you be on? One thing is for sure. The odds are that if you are not saved, you're going to be where the spirits of the departed spirits that go when they die and end up in a lake of fire. If you are saved, then God has told us to be absent body, be present with the Lord. Notice in Revelation 19, the saints of God are coming back with him. Yeah. And you know what makes me think about that? I sat and thought in my mind, hundreds and billions of the saints of God, the redeemed, not angels, but the redeemed, are coming back with him to this earth for him to set up his kingdom. Yes, sir. And we won't have to strike one thing in battle. the word of his mouth cuts in. I believe it's going to explode electrons and atoms, and you're talking about atomic combustion. Ain't no telling what's going to happen in the Battle of Jehoshaphat. Amen. I'm glad I'm on the upper side, aren't you? Amen. And we'll see him set his foot on the Mount of Olives. Go through that eastern gate I had the privilege to stand and look at over there years ago. And the walls open up, the door opens up. He walks in to the nation of Israel. Walks in that gate to set up his kingdom. And the saints of God shining in the kind of glory of God with their righteousness. And as he goes in that city, they say, "Who is this person?" He shows them their hand. And for the first time, that nation as a whole will receive him as their Messiah. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you for the word and the patience of these people. I'm glad, the Lord, even though we talked how impatient we are, I'm glad there's seemingly people here this morning that's not impatient. Maybe some are, but I think most believe, certainly will say, the Lord, we have so much to look forward to. It could be one heartbeat away, or it could be just 1 hour away. That one heartbeat each one of us may go individually, or it could be just 1 hour or less that all of us go at one time that are saved. And dear Father, I know to a world that's not redeemed, they're laughed and mocked, and there have more people to agree with them than with us. Lord, I'm glad we have this precious book. Without it, we wouldn't know anything about you. Without the Holy Spirit, we couldn't understand it. It's written in such a way, it's got to have spiritual enlightenment. And you can't have that without having the Spirit of God. And you can't have the Holy Spirit without being born into the family of God. Because that's the down payment you said you give to those who trust Jesus as Savior. Lord, help someone today. Draw closer to you. Encourage someone who may be discouraged. And help someone see Jesus Christ is the only one who's the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.